What happens when a government contractor employee calls out to the government suspected wrongdoing by his or her company? That's the topic of an ongoing pilot program launched in 2013. For how the program is working out, we turn to Marie Mack, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Ms. Mack, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
So this program is a pilot, and what are the agencies involved with it?
There are actually a whole, in legislation, there are quite a few agencies across the federal government that are involved. We only looked at the 14 executive departments that were defined in legislation in our review. But it includes, for instance, we had Department of Agriculture, Commerce, Education, Energy, Health and Human Sources, Homeland Security, Housing and Urban Development, Interior, Justice, Labor, State, Transportation, Treasury, and Veteran Affairs. Those were our 14. It did not include Department of Defense and NASA, for instance. They are covered under other legislation.
And what does the pilot program specifically do? And I guess later on we'll find out when it stops being a pilot.
In December of 2015, it has already been extended to be permanent. So the pilot was extending what whistleblower protections to grantees and subcontractors. There were already some laws in place that covered contractors, but this one actually enhanced the protection to subcontractors and grantees, and then also expanded who a contractor employee could report to when they have a disclosure of wrongdoing. And then finally, it also formalized agency responsibilities and timeframes. For instance, it put in a 180-day timeframe for investigations that had to be done by then. It directed the agency head to actually make the final decision of a reprisal within 30 days. And it also established a requirement for agencies to ensure contractors notify their employees in writing of their whistleblower rights.
So it sounds as if agencies had to really initiate some fairly comprehensive apparatus to make sure that all of these steps took place if a whistleblower complaint came in.
To some extent. I mean, most agencies we found already had existing ways to notify contractors, have contractors and subcontractors and grantee employees be aware. There was always, many of them had a hotline. They have a whistleblower contact. They also have an electronic case management system which tracks them. And some of them had some training, which we found was available, and some had education programs specifically for contractors, subcontractors, and grantees. However, there was always room, we found there was definitely more room for improvement.
And what were some of the areas you found should be improved?
For instance, some of the things in the guidance and policy we found, they didn't follow it exactly. There could have been more details to improve who they specify within an agency should be involved in reviewing the reports and who made the final determination. And then we also made recommendations to address policies and processes. There was a FAR clause that's required to be, the pilot required that FAR clause be put into new contracts. And we found at the four departments that we looked at closely that there were contracts that did not have that FAR clause. And that FAR clause was to have contracting officers communicate with contractors and subcontractors to ensure that their employees know of the protections that are provided under the pilot program.
What section of the FAR does that clause go under?
The FAR clause is in FAR clause 52.203-17.
So the FAR council had actually done its work and created the clause, it was just not getting employed properly.
Correct.
And with respect to whom complaints should be forwarded, you found some weaknesses there that they weren't getting everywhere they should.
In some cases, we found that the departments did not forward it to the right point of contact at the agency. For instance, if it did not go to the head of the agency, or if it did go to the head of the agency may not have known that they had to actually make a decision to finalize whether there was a reprisal had occurred or not. In all the cases we've looked at so far that the agencies had already completed, there were no substantiated reprisals in the pilot program. That's important to note as well.
That is to say there was no retaliation against the whistleblowers.
Correct.
We're speaking with Marie Mack, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management at the Government Accountability Office. Do you have a sense of the nature of the types of whistleblower complaints that were coming in from subs and grantees?
Well, we looked at the numbers more than what the actual nature was. A lot of them, we received about over 1,500 reprisal complaints, there were only 127 which were actually reported by contractors, subcontractors, and grantees. And then of those, we had to look at, the IGs had to decide whether they fit into the pilot or not. Were they considered alleged gross mismanagement, or were they fraud, waste, and abuse? So of those that actually were determined to fit within the pilot, there was only 44 of them that IGs actually determined to actually fit within the pilot. And then so far to date, as of December 31st of 2015, 27 were investigated, and none of those were substantiated.
So there were 127 complaints, 44 that came under the pilot, and of those, none of them seemed...
None of the ones that were investigated by the end of December were substantiated. So it is a very low number, which could prove, could make one wonder, is the pilot working? And to that, I would say it's hard to tell. It can be taken from two perspectives, that the numbers are so low because these laws are really in place to catch the outliers. So maybe a lot of businesses already embrace this, and low numbers may be a good thing. But on the other hand, because of the low percentage, it could be the pilot's only been in effect since July 2013 and not enough time has passed, or that the contractors and contractor employees may not know about the pilot. Then that's what we tended to find in our work.
I guess in some cases, if people understand even that there are prohibitions against reprisal against them, it can still be very costly till the case is actually settled. And so maybe people kind of self-censor their willingness to go ahead with something they feel that they would otherwise blow the whistle on.
Well, we didn't look at in terms of actual cost of these specific cases, but what we did find was that sometimes there is a tendency for a reluctance to report on these cases just because people have not seen the process, people have not trusted the process, have not seen an instance where an individual who was reprised again make it successfully through the pilot, which is in this particular case, since none of the cases that were resolved have been substantiated.
Yeah, when I said costly, I meant in terms of the what could happen to your career or some kind of legal battle you might have to go through.
Absolutely.
As a result of reprisal.
Absolutely. Very good point.
What are your recommendations at this point for now that it is a permanent program?
We've asked the IGs to clarify their guidance on how to implement the pilot program, specifically who within the agency should be involved in reviewing the reports and who makes the final determinations whether the reprisals occur. We've also asked the four departments to develop policies and processes to insert the FAR clause into new contracts, and then identify whether a contract modification is major, because one of the things for new contracts was the pilot had asked to look at contract modifications for all contracts that were done before the pilot went into place. And so we want some policies and procedures to identify whether a contract modification is major and whether they should include that FAR clause. And then finally, we asked contract officers to have processes in place to communicate with contractors and subcontractors so that employees are informed of the protections that are under the pilot program.
Marie Mack is Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management at the Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll post a link to that report and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.